style and grace. I'm never gonna be done, lean on in. Now welcome to the queen dome.
The queen dome, where the kings bow down. They relinquish the crown. Y'all gon' leave me now. I just turn that around and make you love me, love me, love me. The queen dome, where the kings bow down. They relinquish the crown. Y'all gon' leave me now. I just turn that around and make you love me, love me, love me.
Look at that girl there. Hips, lips, hair. Walks with a flair like she just don't care. Do her like she do her. Self-made, so paid, do an actor. She stop, do, stare, chicks do too. Bounce, so bounce, never ever gon' lose. Her top-down crew so smooth, nothing better. Boom to the letter, you got to respect her. Mamacita off the meter, she a go-getter. With the speed of a cheetah, legit and better. So hot, they sweat her like a sweater in a sauna. Elegant persona, ready for drama. Zeros and commas all up in a bank book. Haters give a stank looks. Even when these cranks push, she push harder. No woman or man does it like she can. And you can't put a dent in her armor.
Oh yeah, welcome to the podcast. This is number 25, so I'm sure Chris Walder has gotten me a gift with silver, because that's what you get for the 25th anniversary. Well, it's only the 25th show. Whatever, I want a gift!
Well, what the hell, man? Just like my girlfriend, I forget all of these anniversaries. This doesn't look good on me.
Oh, that's not good for you. Forget about this show. Like, with women, we may not have you for the show if you forget these dates.
I'm constantly reminded about, like, the 1 month, the 6 months, the 1 year, and I keep forgetting. It's difficult.
You've got to remember these dates. These are important things to most females. By the way, we are a wrestling podcast. This is not Loveline. I am James Borbath. He is Chris Walder. We are going to talk about SummerSlam, which I do not believe involved... Well, it involved relationships, but not those kind.
Just the sisters.
Yes, we had family problems at SummerSlam, and we'll get into that. But coming off our last show, I was looking forward to SummerSlam. You were not, so... You were the one that had such low expectations for this show. What did you end up thinking of it?
Well, I feel stupid now. I was actually happy with the way it started, especially because over at WrestlingRumors.net, I made my SummerSlam picks, and then me and you made our picks last week as well. And I was kind of thinking, you know what, the card is just going to be pretty straightforward. We're going to get obvious results. We're not going to get a lot of, you know, out-of-the-blue, you know, victories and whatnot. But, you know, the first couple of matches we had... Dolph Ziggler become Intercontinental Champion, which blew my mind because no one on the site figured that was a possibility, considering how far they've buried him as of late. And then Paige, which I thought was kind of a long shot, she becomes Divas Champion. So that set the tone for the rest of the show. It kind of, you know, tailored off a little bit in the middle, but we finished off with a tremendous beatdown of John Cena, especially if you're not a fan of his work and whatnot. You saw him get suplexed for 25 minutes. And Brock Lesnar is the new champion. So there was a lot to take away from the show. I thought it was probably the second or third best show of the year. And, yeah, I really don't have a lot of complaints.
And there's a new German announced team. And do they actually call a German suplex a German suplex? Or is it just the suplex, Chris Walder?
They call it the Deutschlandplex.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm totally kidding, by the way.
No, someone actually responded that. I put up on Facebook, and that was the response they had. So
the
maybe that is true.
The Deutschplex, I like it.
Hey, why not? I don't know. But, yeah, I thought SummerSlam was reasonably good. Roman Reigns, Randy Orton. Roman Reigns still had some work to do. Jericho and Wyatt just doesn't work for me. I mean, the match was better. But I just wasn't into it. As I said on our post show on Between the Ropes, there was one spot in particular in that match. Bray Wyatt looked like a beach whale in that the Walls of Jericho. It was not a good look for him, and I just thought, ugh.
What, just from his physique? Like, you thought he looked overweight?
It was just the way it was, like, what he was wearing and being in that move. It kind of pulled up his shirt, and he just had this big gut that hung out. I'm a big guy, so, I mean, I noticed this stuff. being a big person, and it just was like, oh, man. You really look like... It took away the whole illusion of Bray Wyatt for me for, like, about 5 seconds, and it was just not pretty.
Well, the match was still an upgrade from what they had at Battleground.
Oh, it was better!
Squad Fest 2014. But, yeah, I enjoyed the match, but the magic of the feud itself wasn't there. And, like, what you said about Roman Reigns, he beat Randy Orton, but at the end of the match, all I can think was, like, damn, Randy Orton, he really stepped up. He was the MVP of that thing.
Yeah, and I think Randy Orton was trying to make himself that. There's all these rumors, and I'm starting to believe them, that Roman Reigns and Randy Orton don't like each other. I'm starting to believe that.
Actually, Roman Reigns posted a picture of himself on Instagram, and Randy Orton was in the background, so maybe they tolerate each other at least, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't like each other, because when you're both, you know, in the upper mid-card main event scene, you kind of just want to be, like, the top guy, and you want to push other people down on your way to the top. So there's only room for so many people.
They're frenemies.
Oh, let's not go there again. Are we going to take that from the Divas and throw it into Reigns and Orton?
No, it was my transition into AJ and Paige, though. You were surprised Paige won. I wasn't. As I said on this show, I thought it was the correct move for storyline. I thought these girls both wrestled this match with a huge chip on their shoulder.
I actually thought that Paige should win, but I thought AJ was going to win just because I felt, you know, why put the belt on her and then to take it away so quickly? And I had the same rationale for the Miz and Dolph Ziggler feud. But I think now, and there's rumors that AJ Lee might be leaving WWE, so this could kind of be a precursor to that. But I feel that with the heel champion, you have more options moving forward because the Divas division is just full of faces at this point. You can always bring Charlotte up from NXT. And I feel that with Paige, she's really grown into this heel persona. Kind of, you know, she's starting to skip around the ring and she's giving hugs and, you know, leaning over her opponents and crawling over them and getting Jerry Lawler all aroused at the same time. So I'm really liking this new Paige, a Paige that she should have been from the very beginning.
But I think both those girls went in that match with a big chip on their shoulder, feeling overshadowed and slighted by the Stephanie Brie match. And I think that was obvious. And AJ is not leaving. You know that's not going to happen because my dream match is coming together.
No, here we go.
And we've even added another layer, Chris Walder. Because
where's the layer?
Who was at SummerSlam?
Who? Oh, no.
Yes, Ronda Rousey was all over SummerSlam. And more to the point, who was in Stephanie McMahon's Ice Bucket Challenge?
The horsewoman and Rousey herself, of course.
Exactly. So my dream is coming together. Here it is now, updated. AJ Lee versus Stephanie McMahon with your guest referee, Ronda Rousey, who is going to play the Mike Tyson role and side with Stephanie, only to turn and side with AJ.
Hashtag predictable.
It is, but I mean, sometimes predictable is good, right?
Yeah, I mean, in this case anyways, because you get to see Rousey make a pretty cool face turn on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I mean, she has the ability to come off as that heel, and we've seen it in mixed martial arts. The only fly in the ointment to this is Dana White has to be furious with how much his UFC stars were all over SummerSlam, and it wasn't just Ronda. Jon Jones was there, and his fight just got called off, and he's hanging out with Brock Lesnar and a whole bunch of WWE guys. I can't imagine that Dana White was too thrilled with two of his champions coming out of SummerSlam on Sunday. He had to be absolutely furious with how much they were just out there. And here we are at the WWE thing having fun.
Well, UFC is hanging on by a thread these days because all of their stars are either going down with injury or they're departing for fresher waters like Lesnar did, coming back to WWE, and now you're seeing people like Jon Jones, Ronda Rousey. I think, didn't Jon Jones say that he was interested in having Paul Heyman teach him how to do promos?
That would be interesting. I didn't hear that, but it couldn't hurt with Jon Jones. I mean, he clearly is a heel in the MMA world. I disagree with you. I don't think the UFC is struggling by any means in comparison to the WWE, but...
No, I didn't mean to the WWE standards. I meant that this is not nearly as successful as it was back in its heyday when you had, like, your Anderson Silvas and your Lesnars and your George St. Pierre's. I think the lack of star power right now is showing, and it's emphasized by, you know, Ronda Rousey's star being a lot higher than it probably would be otherwise.
Hey, I think that was a knock on Ronda, so I don't like this. We're not going to get into a huge MMA discussion, but they obviously have went a direction to try and make their company global, and I agree with you, their star power isn't at the greatest point to be doing that. If they had done it maybe 2 years ago, it might be a whole different story for the UFC. Although, actually, 2 years ago is when they had all their injuries, so I take that back. But we're not an MMA podcast, so don't hold it against us.
We're not? We're not an MMA podcast?
I don't think so. I just bring up Ronda a lot.
Why was I just being informed of this now?
I don't know.
25 shows in.
Well, other than Ronda Rousey, and we just mentioned Jon Jones, who else in MMA have we brought up? Brock, I guess. That
yeah, Nicholas. There you go.
But he's in the WWE, so that doesn't count. But anyway, that's my dream. Anyway, going into the match with Brie and Stephanie, you predicted doom and disaster, and I want to get your thoughts, and then I'll give mine.
It wasn't awful. I'll give him that. As soon as Stephanie McMahon came out, she looked like some sort of like BDSM. She had some sort of session with her husband before the match. She had like her leather outfit on. She looked good. I mean, she obviously got in a better shape for this thing. And yeah, she wasn't a train wreck. I mean, she hasn't been in the ring, I think, since 2003. So it's been over 10 years, like they always say. And, you know, even Brie had her moments as well. It was mainly because she was doing like her Daniel Bryan euphemisms and getting the yes chants and whatnot. And I thought that was pretty cool. She even had her, like, suicide dive to the outside, I think, on Triple H, so that was neat. But, I mean, the ending with Nikki Bella, a lot of us saw that coming because we never really thought that Stephanie was going to be continuing to compete heading into Night of Champions and beyond, so you needed kind of someone to step into that role, and now it looks like we're going to get a Nikki versus Brie feud.
And, by the way, when Stephanie came out, flashed the Four Horsewomen sign. My match is happening now.
Did she? I didn't even notice that.
Oh, yeah, it was on a video. People went gaga over it, the fact that Stephanie acknowledged the horsewomen at ringside. And Ronda had on Bray's hat. I mean, she literally met everyone in the WWE. It was crazy. She was meeting Bray. She was meeting Roman Reigns, Ric Flair. I mean, they did the WWE gambit. I mean, even Booker T mentioned Ronda was there on the pre-show, apparently.
Well, she's a huge star, and she's basically, I mean, it's debatable, she's the face of UFC.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right. Her movie hasn't done that well, though. Expendables 3 is tanked.
Well, there's not enough room in the box office right now with Batista raking in all the dough.
Wow. There you go. Anyway, about the match, because we got clearly sidetracked talking about Ronda, which isn't a bad thing.
It's hard not to do.
No. Anyway, and all those girls, like Shayna Baszler, could walk into WWE tomorrow. I mean, and be, like, what, the top three wrestler in the company? Like, it's true. She's that good. Like, they have nothing.
Well, she'd be the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 diva in the division, basically.
Yeah, like, I mean, in all honesty, the girl can work a match right now. She was trained by Josh Barnett, who's an MMA fighter who also has a background in pro wrestling. So, I mean, she knows how to professionally wrestle. There's no doubt about that. But anyway, back to Brie and Stephanie, who allegedly know how to wrestle. You know, it's funny. You had such low expectations. I had high expectations. The match, to me, I wasn't as impressed. I thought it was a little bit slow, and I thought it was almost the opposite of what I thought it would be. Brie actually got carried by Stephanie.
Well, I mean, I disagree with you only because, not on Brie getting carried by Stephanie, because I really felt like that was the case. And I think in that kind of position where Stephanie really isn't a trained wrestler, you kind of have to let her handle the reins and make her look dominant, because otherwise, you know, if Brie is the one trying to carry Stephanie, it might not be as effective. But, yeah, it's just because the build-up was just so high-profile. We were seeing this match and feud getting main event segments on Monday Night Raw. And then, obviously, the week before the show, we had that stupid Claire Lynch segment with Daniel Bryan cheating on Brie. And I thought, all right, now we're kind of going on a downward spiral, and I think it's going to culminate in this really mediocre match at SummerSlam. But I don't think that was the case.
speed ahead to the next night on Raw. What did you think of what Nikki Bella did?
Man, she slapped Brie good. That was one hell of a smack. And at the end of the day, they're still sisters, so I don't know how that conversation went when they got backstage. But especially at SummerSlam, at the end of the match, it almost looked as if Nikki Bella didn't want to cost her sister. But on Monday Night Raw, it was just a complete 180, and she was full-fledged heel. She was on the side of Stephanie McMahon, and she was 100% against Brie, and I didn't really understand that.
A lot of people have been knocking her talking and how she did on the microphone. I'm going to give Nikki Bella credit, and this may be the first and last time this happens on this show. But when you think about it, this is her big moment in the sun. She comes out, she's introduced by Stephanie, by the way, just great. The whole Daniel Bryan thing, the new t-shirt, awesome. Stephanie continues to knock it out of the park. But Nikki comes out. She comes down the aisle, has a literal heel turn, and has to lose her shoe for a minute. handles that, all fine, puts the shoe back on, keeps on walking. Gets to the ring, is handed her microphone. The first two lines, we don't hear at home. Kept on going, kept doing her promo. I thought, with all of those things working against her off the start, pretty good job.
It's not a good thing when 60 seconds into your heel turn, you lose a shoe, and the microphone you're using to cut your first heel promo doesn't even work. And I said that on Twitter. I'm like, oh, bless her heart. She's going to have to really get herself out of this one. But I'll give her this. She's a much better talker than Brie, only because I think Nikki is just a natural heel, and I think Brie just comes off as lame, I guess.
Brie's terrible. She's just terrible. Like, she's a terrible actress. If there's ever a movie like with those two in it, just cast Nikki. Like, I mean, honestly, Brie's terrible. We saw this in the horrible Kane Daniel Bryan stuff too. I mean, this girl can't act at all.
With her screams and Kane trying to kidnap her and whatnot, those were good times.
I mean, she's talking about her family being torn apart and broken up, and I'm just sitting there like laughing. Like, I have no sympathy for this woman at all.
Well, let's get what's important here. And how this is going to carry over to everyone's favorite show, including ours, Total Divas.
I don't know. Did you watch the video podcast last night?
I watched a little bit of it. Why? Did you guys talk about it?
Well, no, but Josh Lopez is doing like all these diva impressions. They all kind of sound the same, but they amuse me greatly. So when Total Divas starts, we're thinking of having Josh reenact scenes and be the Total Divas.
Well, he'll have to work on his impressions if they all sound the same.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's just funny. Go back and watch. It's good stuff.
I'm very hardcore with my impressions, James. I want some high-quality stuff here.
It's not my Randy Savage, but it's still funny.
My Cameron impression would just be me talking very, very softly and then having someone next to me booing me the entire time.
Well, you got to get the big line in there, though.
Yeah, that's true. Her one-liners.
Yeah, she's got a t-shirt now, for God's sakes.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't take much to get a t-shirt now in 2014.
Yeah, what are their standards? I mean, seriously.
No, not just in WWE, in general. I mean, God bless the people at Pro Wrestling Tees, and I think they make great products, but my God, there is just not anybody who can't get a t-shirt these days.
And just for the record, in a couple of weeks, I'll be coming out with my Mr. Wonderful t-shirt, so be on the lookout for that.
Hey, if we start our own store, that's not a bad idea.
They call me Mr. Wonderful. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Like, all you have to do, I looked into this, I don't think we're there yet, but I looked into this. All you really have to do is, like, sell 25 t-shirts and you're good.
Awesome. I think we can hit that.
I don't know. I don't think we can, Walden.
I'll buy 24.
Okay, well, if you buy 24 and I buy one, yeah, maybe we can. But
there you go. Even Steven.
I don't know. Maybe down the line, when we reach, like, our 100th podcast, we can talk about merchandising.
Here we go.
Maybe.
I can smell the money already, James.
Yeah, they're raking in the dough on those shirts. But no, actually, the Law, they do have shirts, and they actually sell theirs. They use it as their pizza fund for when they watch pay-per-views. So maybe we can get, like, I don't know about a pizza fund, but maybe like a snacks fund.
We're starving here, people. We need our pizza and pepperoni.
I don't know. Like a snacks fund. We can build up to a pizza fund.
So we have to start off with the Doritos.
Yeah,
and then
Doritos.
And slowly work our way up to full-on meals.
Doritos and a 2-liter of Pepsi, and we'll work our way up from there.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
Oh, man. Jerry Lawler with the Mountain Dew stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, they had that on Botchamania. I was crying, laughing.
We got to keep this wrestling related now.
Yeah. Anyway, we're off on all kinds of tangents today, folks. Hopefully you're enjoying. But we left off with Nikki and Brie in this feud. I don't have great hopes for this feud.
And you know they're going to book it as a main event feud heading into Night of Champions, which is
going to be
a disaster. Oh, my God, yeah. Are you kidding me?
No.
If you've seen the projected card for Night of Champions, this is one of the top three matches.
I disagree.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're going to have... Aren't we getting Triple H and Roman Reigns?
No.
Why not?
We're not.
Why are
I'm
we not getting that?
We're not getting Reigns and Triple H. We're getting another Reigns and Orton match.
Oh, my God. Why are they doing that?
It's going to be rematches galore once again at Night of Champions.
Okay,
both matches are having a stipulation now.
You're into the rumors thing. I don't look at this stuff. All I know is we're getting John Cena and Brock again, and I have thoughts on that. We'll get into that a little later. But what are these other matches that I apparently don't know about?
Well, so far, I mean, it was already announced on Wednesday that we're obviously getting the Brock Lesnar versus John Cena rematch. Lovely, because the first one wasn't one-sided at all. We all love to see that again.
I have a theory for that. That's workable. But anyway, what are these other matches?
Roman Reigns and Randy Orton have another match. They're going to throw a stipulation in there. Same with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, who we'll talk about later in their match on Raw. We're going to get a tag team title match with the Usos, Stardust and Goldust, and I think they might just do a tag team turmoil thing where they get five or six teams in there. Another Ziggler versus Miz match. I mean, right now it just looks like everything we've seen the last 2 months.
Wow. And I guess we get Paige AJ again.
Probably, yeah.
We're supposed to get Wyatt and Jericho again, although they left that kind of ambiguous if we are going to get the third one.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going now. Maybe, and also, if they don't keep this on television, we might get Jack Swagger versus Bo Dallas on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's going to be a feud now. But and obviously we're getting Henry and Rusev.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That was obviously the WWE's response to people's response to their little Nation of Domination 2.0 that people didn't seem to want.
But, well, we're getting Mark Henry in this. I was like, because the show started on Raw with Mark Henry in the Big Show, and I'm like, is he really? I mean, he's the world's strongest man, but can he juggle two storylines at the same time?
Well, this seems like race relations fix-up, and they might need some of that with Alberto Del Rio threatening to be coming back to America talking bad things about this company.
I also heard that the AAA Triple Mania event actually did better a buy rate than SummerSlam.
I don't know about that, but one thing I do know, the people at AAA, they got some big kahunas there, my buddy Conan and the people down there. Not only is Del Rio on that show, which is fine, the show was in Mexico, they're not breaking any rules or anything by doing that, but also they had Rey Mysterio on that show.
Well, he wasn't physically there. He did.
No, he did a video, yeah. But then they had Free Ray and all of that. I mean, I think now they've just basically... The WWE's going to stick their feet in the ground now, and Ray's not getting out of there until next April. I'll guarantee it.
It's a lawsuit waiting to happen. I think even Del Rio used his WWE music on the way to the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it's like AAA is taunting the WWE to get into a fight.
Yeah, what's his name now? It's not Del Rio, it's like El Patron or something.
Yeah, it's
like
what he used to go by that when he was down there before, apparently. So
yeah.
Interesting stuff. Also interesting, the WWE, hey, remember what I've been saying all this time about all these ex-TNA guys?
Yep.
And I've said, guess what? WWE doesn't want him. They can say all they want. WWE wants no part of him. Case in point, Kurt Angle, no, your services are not required here at WWE. And thanks for the call, but no thanks. And, you know, a lot of people have been on Triple H's butt about this. I'm on Kurt Angle's butt about this. Because, number one, he calls up Triple H. Triple H says, you know what? Sorry, it's not happening. So then what does Kurt Angle do? He calls up Vince McMahon, goes behind Triple H's back, and Vince tells him, guess what, pal? Triple H makes the decisions on this stuff, not me. Like, sorry, Kurt Angle. You've played yourself into a corner. Too bad. Good luck.
Well, I understand Angle's, you know, urge to get back in WWE because TNA's future is completely in the midst right now, and we don't know how long that they're going to survive. And he always said he wanted to end his career with WWE, but right now it kind of seems that the company has their plan set probably until WrestleMania at this point, and there's really not a lot of room for a guy like Angle who would obviously want to be thrust into the main event scene. The only thing right now that I could see him doing that wouldn't really take away from anybody else is being the one to feud with Rusev for the time being and being like the ultimate American, because it seems like we're progressively getting to bigger and bigger stars. We started with Swagger, going to Henry, and now, you know, somewhere down the line maybe Angle, but I don't think that's what they want to do at all. We might even get John Cena versus Rusev at this point. So when there's no room and there's no space on television and there's no space on pay-per-views, sorry, Kurt Angle, back of the line.
Yeah, and Bubba Ray Dudley has apparently not come to terms with TNA, and he was loudly saber-rattling about coming back to WWE. Sorry, it's not happening for you either, Bubba. It's over. The train has left the station. Like, the thing that makes me angry, my anger is not with the WWE, it's not even with these performers, it's with fans, because some fans out there, they claim they want all this change, right? They want to see Bo Dallas get a push. They want to see Dolph Ziggler get a push. They want to see XYZ get a push. These same fans want to see Kurt Angle come back, want to see Bubba Ray Dudley come back. You can't have it both ways. Which are you for? Do you want change, or do you want a nostalgic? Do you want Hulk Hogan having a birthday party, or do you want Brock Lesnar as your champion? What is it? Because at some point you have to decide which side of the fence you're on, and if you're not going to decide and you're going to sit on the fence, you are a hypocrite. It's that simple.
I think fans are just selfish in the sense that they want a good mix of both, where they want the old stars to come back, but not enough to where it takes away from the new guys and the rising stars. So they say, you know what, let's bring Kurt Angle back for a short stint, but let's continue pushing the Ambroses and the Rollins and the Reigns of the world. And, you know, even like a guy with Sting, people who have been pining to come to WWE for years and years and years, I mean, not only did they come to an agreement with him, but the fact that he was able to do some work with 2K Sports and do the WWE video game really helped his cause as well. And we might not see him for quite a while either, just because there's really no space for him right now. But in Kurt Angle's sense, I'm a huge Kurt Angle fan. I watched him in TNA. He was really the only reason why I even tolerated that product for so long, because I'm a huge supporter of the Olympic gold medalist and whatnot. But yeah, right now, where do you put him? There's nowhere.
Not only that, if you look in WWE developmental, WWE already has the next Kurt Angle. This guy, I think his last name's Gable. He was a 2012 U.S. Olympian. Why don't I just try and work with that guy and turn him into the next Kurt Angle, then get the old broken down DUI, been to rehab Kurt Angle that I don't really need?
Well, Kurt Angle thinks he still has a lot of fuel left in the tank and he could be a major player in the company. But, again, that ship has sailed long, long, long ago.
You know what? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous for Kurt Angle to say he has a lot left in the tank. He's broken down. Everyone sees it. I mean, Hulk Hogan talking about having one more match is even more ridiculous. I mean, really, who wants to see that at this point? Like, unless you blind yourself with nostalgia, I don't see how that's entertaining. Kurt Angle, there's no question, at one time, was one of the best professional wrestlers on planet Earth. That day is done, and it's been done for a long time.
if this was 3 years ago, I'd totally be on board with it, because just think of the dream matches we could have had. Kurt Angle versus Daniel Bryan, Kurt Angle versus CM Punk, even do another Angle versus Cena, for crying out loud. They had some good matches before, but right now, like you said, the DUIs, the drugs, the alcohol, just the litany of injuries that he's had to his neck and his knees. He's not the same Kurt Angle that was stealing the show at WrestleMania against Shawn Michaels. He's not the same wrestling machine that was winning World Heavyweight Championships and carrying the SmackDown brand for years. He's an entirely different person. I think TNA has drained him, and I think he's drained himself.
And Vince McMahon had the famous quote on this whole idea of Kurt Angle coming back and why he let Kurt Angle to go in the whole first place. He said, and I don't know if this is the direct quote, but basically this is what he said. He said, "I am not having an Olympic gold medalist die on my watch."
Totally. I can completely, that's a rational reason. Angle was killing himself when he was with the company. I mean, we all know what happened at WrestleMania 19 when he was scheduled to go in for major neck surgery, but he wanted to work the match with Lesnar, and he could have easily, I mean, just one botched move, one botched body slam, anything of the sort, and he could have been paralyzed for the rest of his life. But he's stubborn. He wants to steal the show. He wants to wrestle. And again, Vince McMahon, what do you do in his situation? You just, all you can do is release him, because you don't want that on your conscience.
And ironically enough, it's Brock Lesnar that almost paralyzed himself.
Yeah,
that match.
The irony, yeah.
But that being said, Brock is not doing any moonsaults these days. While we're on the subject of TNA, let's cover a couple things with them. I don't know what kind of news this is for them, other than it's a bit of a reprieve. They are extended with Spike TV. They've been given a little bit more time. Till the end of the year is the word TNA is putting out. And on the surface, you can look at this two different ways, I suppose. Well, it's good they got their extension and they still get to survive. It's bad in the sense, because it clearly states to me they have nowhere to go.
We're just delaying the inevitable at this point. I mean, you can either stab them in the heart now or stab them a couple of months down the road. And I mean, yeah, they got an extension until the end of the year, but what does that really solve anything? They still need to find another home.
And Spike, like, Spike clearly stuck a dagger in them by moving them to Wednesday night. I mean, their rating this week went in the tank, like 0.69, 0.67, something like that. And ironically enough, with this extension, the last two shows on Spike TV, if this contract is not renewed or goes beyond where it's at now, the last two impacts are going to be on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. Chris Walder, are you going to enjoy your Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve with Impact Wrestling?
Oh, of course, because I totally plan my holiday schedule around TNA programming, just like I do every other week of my life, because Impact is such a major part of the Chris Walder, you know, persona, just my personality. I mean, I live, die, breathe everything TNA. So you can bet your ass that I'll be sitting on my couch instead of spending time with my family or friends on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
And you are going to a Ring of Honor show just to prove what a loyal TNA fan you are.
I am super loyal. Don't look too much into that, people.
Anyway, yeah, why don't we talk a little bit about Ring of Honor? They had a show at a baseball stadium, and guess what, Chris Walder? They had more than 67 people there.
So how many did they have, though? Not 68. Definitely not 68.
No, I don't know. I don't know exact numbers, but I saw pictures. There was lots of people. It seemed like relatively successful event, Field of Honor, for ROH with that. And now they move on to a couple big events for them. Death Before Dishonor, where they do the double shot doing Milwaukee and Chicago. And then they're up in our neck of the woods to have their next iPay-per-view, which is their All-Star Extravaganza, which is spelled correctly on all the posters now. Congratulations. But we joke with ROH, but this looks like a fantastic card. They're really stacking this card up for the Toronto show. We're getting, assuming he makes it through his title defenses versus Silas Young and Tommaso Ciampa, we are getting on top Michael Elgin facing Jay Briscoe for the title. Adam Cole versus AJ Styles, first time ever for that match. I assume it's going to end up being a number one contender match, although I haven't seen that posted. It seems logical that it would be. And then we have the Young Bucks and Red Dragon in 2 out of 3 falls. I think that's going to be phenomenal as well.
Oh, I'm super stoked for this card, man. I mean, like we said before, this is my first wrestling show ever, and I get to see the Young Bucks. I get to see AJ Styles, who's probably my favorite wrestler in the world at this time. And let's not forget another match that was just announced recently for the card, The Decade. Roderick Strong and Jimmy Jacobs will take on Christopher Daniels and Kazarian.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the ironic thing is this card has arguably the best wrestler that TNA had and arguably the best tag team that TNA had wrestling for ROH. I mean, it just speaks to maybe what's going on with TNA, rather, that the fact that these guys are out there and wrestling for ROH, and who knows, maybe Bubba Ray Dudley will have to come to Ring of Honor. Could you imagine that?
Well, you know what, TNA, I mean, you had to create more airtime for Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Sting and all of the big names. I mean, Young Bucks, AJ Styles, who are they?
Yeah, well, Young Bucks weren't even in ROH for a while. They've been doing their thing in New Japan, and really, when you go into the nerdy wrestling fans, New Japan is the one that's the company that everyone talks about outside of the WWE.
You need to step up your New Japan game, man, because some of the best matches of the year have been in that company.
I tell you what, I did watch the ROH guys when they were on the end of the G1 Climax. I saw Michael Bennett, who was on this program, along with Adam Cole, who was on this program, with the lovely Maria Kanellis tag up to face... who was it? Jushin Thunder Liger and that super New Japan guy or whatever. He's like a cartoon character. I don't quite understand it. But they faced those two and they won. And here's what I gathered from the Japanese commentary of that match. The Japanese commentators, big fans of Maria Kanellis.
How'd you figure?
Well, she was mentioned 10 times. Cole was mentioned, I think, once, but maybe not. And Michael Bennett was mentioned once. But Maria Kanellis, 10 mentions during that match.
That's still not enough.
Apparently, they're big fans. That's all I took away from the Japanese commentary.
Well, one day you'll be able to translate exactly what they're saying. And to all you out there who haven't watched any New Japan stuff in 2014, hit up YouTube, guys, because you are missing out. High-quality stuff, 5-star matches across the board. And then I don't even think we've talked about this. You're fully aware of the whole Bullet Club thing, right?
Hey, they got merch. We talked about Pro Wrestling Tees. They actually move T-shirts, and they move a lot of them on Pro Wrestling Tees. And apparently, when the Bullet Club T-shirts went on Pro Wrestling Tees, they broke the site.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, they just like sold like gangbusters, and they literally broke the site down for a while.
They're the number one faction in the world right now, but they have a new member. I mean, this was a few weeks ago, but
yeah, I don't like
this. Her favorite guy in the world, James.
JEFFJARRETT. Mr. Global Force Wrestling himself, Jeff Jarrett. I don't get this.
Well, there goes the coolness factor.
Yeah, remember when the NWO stopped being cool? What was that moment? What was the member of the NWO that said, okay, this is too much, because I feel like Jeff Jarrett is that guy for the Bullet Club?
It's probably you, Virgil. You ruined the NWO.
I don't know if it was Virgil, actually, who was Vincent in the NWO.
Oh, yeah, Vincent. Yeah, they had to get rid
of him. Horace Hogan, maybe. I think that's where it started to go wrong.
Was he really Hogan's nephew?
I don't think so.
Ugh, God. But not only Jarrett, actually, Scott D'Amore, the former manager of Team Canada. I mean, if you thought Jarrett was killing the cool, I mean, just throw D'Amore in there.
Wow, that's not nice.
Fun of Jarrett. I can't take a shot at D'Amore.
You can. I just like Scott D'Amore. I'm not a big fan of Jeff Jarrett.
All right, fine. Be that way.
Anyway, so that's kind of around the world in 60 seconds well, a little more than 60 seconds with the various promotions going on in the world and Ring of Honor. And September 6th, we're looking forward to it. We should have a guest, if not this week, but next week from Ring of Honor. And I'm excited to talk to this guest, so it'll be exciting to have a guest on the program. And it's someone new this time, Chris Walder. Although we're trying to get back a few of our old favorites as well. But a new guest on the program, if not this week, or obviously not this week, but next week or the week after.
And it's someone that obviously has a close relationship with your boy, Mr. Kevin Steen.
He does, and Adam Cole and Matt Hardy and a whole bunch of other people. And if we haven't given it away yet, well, you'll have to figure it out. But yeah, and it's not Maria Kanellis.
Damn it! I wanted to mention her at least 10 times. You know, I mean, yeah, keep the trend going.
I just want to ask her if she's heard the Japanese commentary. That would be the first question of the interview if Maria comes on the show. So, did you hear the Japanese commentators? Apparently, they're big fans.
We'll keep that for a future segment.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, Mike Bennett, the last time he was on, did promise that both he and Maria would come on next time. I don't know if that'll happen, but you know, he did make the promise.
But yes, I mean, next, hopefully we get this interview scheduled up, this mystery person, in case you haven't figured it out yet. But that should be one of our best.
It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. So
I think he's very well spoken.
He is. So that's it. We've teased enough of this interview that we expect to happen in a week or two. Let's take our focus back to Night of Champions coming up. Kind of a strange way to announce the rematch, I thought, on Main Event on the WWE Network all of a sudden. Hey, kids, guess what? We're getting a Brock Lesnar versus John Cena rematch.
Why? Well, actually, you know what? I take that back, because that's really all they can do at this point. John Cena has his rematch clause, and whether we like it or not, at SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar, 16 German suplexes or Deutsch plexes or whatever you want to call them. It was completely one-sided. It was a squash match, but we're going to get it again. And you know that they're going to really play up this whole never give up, never surrender John Cena mantra. And, I mean, Lesnar's probably going to win. But, I mean, you, James, you have a pretty good idea of maybe a stipulation they could add to this thing.
Yeah, I called this right at the post-show. Like, I said, this is going to be an I Quit match between John Cena and Brock Lesnar in rematch. And look at all the references we've had that suggest it. Triple H does that Wednesday interview. He kind of suggested that John Cena is crazy to have this match and that, you know, he was probably against good logic to do so, but that's John Cena. He never quits. Paul Heyman in his promo on Monday night talked about the resiliency of John Cena and how he has lasted for all this time. And he never quits. And he didn't quit against Brock on Sunday, even though he didn't win. And Brock, during the match itself, how many times did he go to Charles Robinson and said, ask him? I think all the chips have been laid, and this was the plan all along. That we're going, I quit match, Cena and Brock Lesnar. What they do with that, I'm not 100% sure about. Because if John Cena actually says the words, I quit, I don't know where you go from there. I think you have to do a scenario much like you had with the Rusev match with Swagger, where you just knock John Cena out.
But see, again, you just did that at SummerSlam with Swagger. And would it really have the same effect with Cena? And if they don't do an I Quit match, they have to do at least a submission match, because they can't just do a straight one-on-one match. I Quit makes more sense because there's no disqualification, and I think, you know, dating back to their Extreme Rules match, which I thought was, well, it was clearly better than what they did at SummerSlam, I think it allows you more leeway to do a lot more things. And at Night of Champions, these are just reports, but apparently WWE is looking to use that as a propeller to John Cena's next feud, so if the reports are true about Rusev being the next guy, maybe we see him get involved in this thing.
So that wouldn't jive with the whole I Quit match thing, because someone getting involved in that match couldn't make John Cena quit.
Yeah, but again, we don't know for a fact that it's going to be an I Quit match.
No,
Bobby
I just...
He's going to be on Raw, and he's going to give some sort of speech about the SummerSlam match, and maybe he'll challenge the I Quit stipulation. And if we go into Night of Champions and it's just a straight one-on-one match, I think we can both agree that we'll both be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, how do you sell this match? Like, that's the only way you sell this match. Like, John Cena got absolutely demolished, destroyed. The only thing he didn't do in that match was quit. Like, I have no interest in seeing a second version of this match unless there is this stipulation, because, let's face it, John Cena got owned by Brock Lesnar. There is no reason to have a regular non-stipulation match between these two. We saw it. Brock Lesnar won convincingly.
Is there any chance that Lesnar drops the title at Night of Champions?
That's the thing I worry about, because if you make it this I Quit match, I don't see them having John Cena say those words.
He sold millions of t-shirts with the words "never give up" on it, and you're going to make him quit publicly on a microphone in front of thousands of children in attendance?
That said, if they go in this direction, have they not made Brock Lesnar just the most dominant thing we've ever seen in WWE?
Oh, it was beautiful at SummerSlam, a work of art.
I mean, when you combine the fact this is the guy that ended the Undertaker streak, then he goes on, he beats John Cena mercilessly in the rematch. He doesn't just beat him, he makes him say, "I quit." I mean, my God. Brock Lesnar is a huge, massive star.
Which makes me even all the more worried about WrestleMania 31 and Roman Reigns being the guy to put Lesnar in his place. But we'll hit that road when the time comes, when we talk about it in March and April. But, yeah, I mean, look, the way they're booking Brock Lesnar right now is 100% spot on. And I was so ticked off with these two fans in attendance at the Staples Center who were chanting "boring" during the Lesnar-Cena match. Are you kidding me? Just because it was one-sided and it was just Lesnar suplexing the hell out of John Cena? Shut the hell up. You know nothing about wrestling. This is how you make Lesnar look like $1 million. John Cena was WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and all he was able to do for 25 minutes was get an attitude adjustment in out of nowhere and an STF submission lock, which Lesnar easily broke out of, knocking him in the head a couple of times, landing the F5, and winning the title convincingly. It was perfect. There was nothing wrong with what happened.
They clearly didn't get it, because that was so well done. I mean, it was so obvious where they were going with that, and Brock Lesnar was playing to it. The way he sat up and kind of did his mocking of The Undertaker and all of that, I thought it was all brilliant. And it's interesting, because I think if you go the route we're talking with the I Quit match, I think people will think, is the WWE going to get cold feet? Are they going to make John Cena the champion again? Is he going to become the 16-time world champion and tie Ric Flair's record? All of those things will come into play, and suddenly now you have a 50-50 contest in the minds of people. But coming off of SummerSlam, if you don't do it this way, I don't think anyone thinks that. I think they think, how can you legitimately book John Cena to win a match that we saw less than a month ago with the outcome being totally different? Like what's the genesis of this? I don't get it. Did John Cena just suddenly start taking steroids in the month between? No, we couldn't use that as an angle, right? What's the story? I don't get it.
And here's the irony right there, what you said with the 16 times tying Ric Flair's record, 16 German suplexes. That could be a little bit of a wink and a gun there. But, yeah, with John Cena, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for him to just get pulverized by Lesnar one pay-per-view, and the next time he's, in control of the match, he's getting the upper hand. Like, what exactly happened in the last 4 weeks for John Cena to just make that turn so suddenly?
Now, if we get this result and we have John Cena get pummeled twice in a row, what becomes of John Cena?
I think Cena's hit that point where you could basically do anything you want to him and it's not really going to hurt him in the eyes of the fans or the company or whatever. I think what it will do is just push Brock Lesnar to the moon even more so. You know, you like we said, he beats the streak at WrestleMania, he dominates John Cena at SummerSlam, and then he does a repeat performance at Night of Champions retaining the belt. Right now, I mean, and they even brought this up at SummerSlam, by the way. Michael Cole had one of the lines of the night, in my opinion, and I never say that about Michael Cole.
No!
A few seconds after the match, what he said, it wasn't even close. And I thought that was just the perfect summary to say, you know what, that's exactly what happened to John Cena. He was just dominated from the start of the bell to the end of the bell. But, again, you can't have him win at Night of Champions, and we still have our concerns about Lesnar holding the belt through WrestleMania and whether he can make all these television appearances or whatnot. And a spoiler alert out there, Lesnar's not going to be on the next 2 weeks of Monday Night Raw, because last Monday night they taped backstage promos and video vignettes, and they're going to be airing them over the next couple of weeks until he appears on the go-home show.
Oh, boy, I like Brock Unplugged, though. That could be even better.
I'm all for it, yeah.
I mean,
about the piss and the vomit and all that stuff.
Yeah, like what more could Brock Lesnar promise for this rematch? But what I meant was, John Cena, character-wise, what happens here? Because I know this is a terrible thing to say, and everyone always talks about it over and over and over again, but if there is ever a time for John Cena to go to the dark side, is this not it?
Yes and no. I mean, it was apparent at SummerSlam that John Cena was the heel because the fans were completely behind Brock Lesnar. There was very little fan support for Cena. There wasn't even the whole, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. I think everyone was just, they knew in the back of their minds that Lesnar was going to win, so they were like, let's just deal with reality here and just put our money on the big guy. But with John Cena, heel turn would be great, but would it make sense in the sense of a storyline with Brock Lesnar? Because as cool as he is and as big a figure as he's become, he's still the top heel in the company, and would it make sense to have Cena turn heel and then just kind of go back and forth with them in that regard?
But is Brock the top heel in the company, and do we even need this defined anymore? Because it's kind of, we're going to a different world right now. I mean, and the whole thing, I think, you know, if Cena was to turn heel now, he would have justification in it. Look, hustle, loyalty, respect, and never give up didn't stop Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, well, if you want to do a heel turn at like Night of Champions, for example, I don't think you just have to make it so obvious that it's a heel turn. I think you just have to make John Cena desperate and have to resort to measures that he wouldn't necessarily do. Have him pull out the steel chairs. Have him pull out the tables, the weapons, the low blows. Do little subtle hints in that regard without having John Cena come out and say, I'm a bad guy now. Because you know
No.
Against a guy like Brock Lesnar, you might have to do those things.
No. I'm not saying during the match. I'm saying after it. I'm saying John Cena has been beaten down to the point that he has nothing left. And he's like, why have I done this for the last 12 years? To end up here? No. And you slowly but surely turn John Cena heel.
We've been saying for years that we've had so many perfect opportunities for John Cena to turn heel.
No,
and
but
he's never done it.
I've never been one to do this. This is new for me. Like, I've never said, you know, I've just accepted John Cena's never going to turn heel. But then again, I never thought I'd see John Cena take a beating like he did at SummerSlam and be in such a one-sided match. So I think the thinking on John Cena is at least open, where I don't think it's been open before.
My theory is, as long as there's not a definitive number two face in the company right now, and you can make the case that it's Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan's on the shelf, so you can't do anything with that, you can't turn John Cena heel because there's no one else who you can elevate to that spot right away. Roman Reigns would be the best option, but they're going the road of him having his WrestleMania moment. And unless you just turn Brock Lesnar face and you just have him do like a double turn or whatnot, but that's not happening either.
No, but leave Brock out of the equation. Let's just focus on John Cena and what he could do as a heel. Whether he's the number one heel, the number two heel, whatever he is. Maybe this is how you get Roman Reigns ready, too. Maybe you make John Cena as the roadblock for Roman Reigns to get to Brock Lesnar, because John Cena doesn't want to give up his spot. John Cena doesn't want the next one to get his shot. And that's your feud to build towards Roman Reigns getting over and getting to WrestleMania. If he ever is going to have a shot, that would be the ultimate program to do it in.
Yeah, I like it, but again, no one can convince me that Roman Reigns is ready for any of this, and I need to see him do something again in the Night of Champions. He can beat Randy Orton or Triple H or whatever, but he needs to be the star of that match. He needs to be the focal point. And SummerSlam, that wasn't the case. I was more impressed with what Randy Orton was doing, and I think a lot of fans were as well. If you think John Cena has five moves of doom, Roman Reigns has four moves of doom. He needs to really evolve, not only his character, but his in-ring work, before I say, you know what? Let's put him in a feud with the heel John Cena. Let's put him in a feud with Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. Let's make him the winner of the Royal Rumble and give him his WrestleMania moment at WrestleMania 31. He's not there yet.
Yeah, no, but he needs a program to get him there, and I think that's the program that could.
Well, yeah, you put him in. You can put anyone in the ring with the heel John Cena, and that's going to make him a star right away. Put him with Ambrose. Put him with Ziggler. It's the same effect.
Right, but that's not the guy that they want to build, right? It's Roman Reigns.
I don't get it, though. I don't see what they see in this guy. He has a terrific look. He has a terrific look that he's getting over with the fans, but he is not capable of being a number one guy at this point. And, you know, these stories are coming out that they're going to take him out of the title picture completely until the Royal Rumble. He's going to have a gradual build. He'll feud with Orton and Triple H, and they might even do the Shield triple threat match, which we've been calling for since their breakup. Okay, that's fine. That will give him some time to really see, you know, is he capable of carrying the ball and taking WWE to bigger and greater heights. Right now, I don't see a lot in him, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer on him. I'm not trying to bury the guy, but I think, you know what, he's still a work in progress.
Speaking of Debbie Downer, and bad news. Daniel Bryan, it looks like second surgery, Tommy John surgery. He's not going to be able to pitch or wrestle for the next 4 months at least, maybe longer, who knows. But obviously not good news for Daniel Bryan. And when you talk about all these plans for the future, obviously the WWE can't really include him in them until he can prove that he's healthy. So, I mean, his progress going forward, you know, I don't know if it's all that good for him. And again, if he were to get healthy and all that, that's another guy where an evil John Cena works.
Well, thank God he's not throwing a baseball, you know what I mean? Like you said, he's not pitching anytime soon. And I think Tommy John surgeries are a little more, you know, like the diagnosis and the long-term recovery isn't as bad for someone who isn't a baseball player. So I think that's a good sign for Bryan. But, and I've been saying all along, I thought the Royal Rumble was a reasonable guess for his return, but I don't even think that's true anymore. It would be great to see him on the WrestleMania card. We'll see about that. And, yeah, I mean, we need to get that John Cena versus Daniel Bryan rematch. Remember the championship ascension ceremony leading into Cena Orton and Orton for the TLC, Cena was like, if I ever win the belt, man, me and you, you need a rematch, and I'll give it to you. So there's a storyline there you can easily go back on, but, you know, like you said, the Tommy John surgery on top of the other injuries for Bryan, it's been a rough year.
Yeah, to say the least for Daniel Bryan. If he does get healthy, though, I think that might be interesting to see where we go. And I mean... Obviously, it's all up in the air, but, you know, WrestleMania is first and foremost in the minds of people coming out of SummerSlam, even though it's like 6 months away, and I don't know, projecting it out, it seems like, you know, we could go a bunch of different directions, and I had it on the site, a bunch of matches that I thought could go down at WrestleMania 30, a couple of them we talked about. Obviously, I want to see Stephanie and AJ. We've clearly established that.
It's a marquee match right there.
And I think it's a no-brainer, even though you're having your doubts and all that. We are going Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I think that has been firmly established in the WWE playbook, unless someone gets hurt or damaged. I think that's where we're going.
Or unless they can reach an agreement with The Rock, because I think there's money in Rock versus Lesnar, too.
Not for a world title. That's like, who's going to watch that?
You wouldn't want to see Lesnar Rock?
That's fine, but how do you get out of it?
you keep the belts on Lesnar, because if he's going to remain the champion until WrestleMania, they'll obviously have some sort of plan with how they're going to get away with a part-time champion.
Well, he doesn't have a contract after WrestleMania, correct?
Oh, no, he's signing an extension, for sure. I think he might have already signed one.
I don't know about that. I think he wants to go back to UFC.
No, I don't believe that for a second. I think he has the urge to, but the money is just way too sweet in WWE.
Anyway, so, that said, those are two matches that I projected for WrestleMania 31. I have three others. Would you care to comment on these? One of these we actually touched upon. John Cena versus Rusev. I don't like it, but I think that's where we're heading.
I'm mixed on that, because I think we're going to get that a lot sooner. I think that's going to be the feud that gets Cena through the Survivor Series and TLC and Hell in a Cell and whatnot. I think if Brock Lesnar defends against The Rock, which I actually think is pretty likely at this point, I think Roman Reigns versus John Cena at WrestleMania will sell as well. But, yeah, I mean, Rusev. If you do Rusev versus Cena, that's a big shot in the arm for Rusev's character.
That's assuming John Cena stays hustle, loyalty, respect, and doesn't go the evil route that I suggested earlier.
Right. Well, what are your other two matches?
My other two matches, one is going to anger people, and I'm sorry, but I'm just doing this from a realistic base. This isn't necessarily stuff I would want to see, although the other match that I'm going to talk about I would want to see. But this one, I think, is obvious because I don't think The Undertaker's coming back. So I think we get Sting Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know what? I like it. But if Undertaker is healthy enough to compete and he says he wants a match, it's going to be Sting Undertaker, no doubt. But
yeah, but Grandpa's not coming back. Have you seen the photos of The Undertaker recently?
Yeah.
Grandpa is not coming back.
He just did the ALS challenge, too.
Wow. That might have killed him.
I covered him in ice. Yeah, it might
yeah, that's not good. Undertaker, don't do that, Undertaker. Like, no, that's wrong.
He did it really cool, too. He did it in total darkness.
How the heck do you do that? I got to see this one.
Yeah, you're going to have to look it up.
I must admit, I saw, like, I've seen so many ice bucket challenges this week. I thought Stephanie was a champ with hers with the four horsewomen. But one that I thought was absolutely hilarious, and I hate to admit it because it's the Miz's wife, but have you seen Maurice's?
Oh, best one ever.
If you are a male, you will enjoy Maurice's ice bucket challenge. That is all I will say.
That was the Miz pouring the ice on her.
Was it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
All right, then. So the Miz pimping out his wife on the ice bucket challenge. Way to go, Miz.
Oh, man. But,
if this wrestling thing doesn't work out for The Miz, he's got his backup plan all lined up.
Oh, Maurice. Beautiful Maurice.
She apparently gets very upset with people that pick on The Miz, so she would hate us.
Oh, it's her husband. Why wouldn't she be upset?
I understand that, but you got to understand.
You married The Miz. What are you asking for here?
Yeah, like, what's wrong with you, girl?
You know what? I'm sure he's an awesome guy.
Anyway, though, I think we do get Triple H and Sting, because Sting has made it pretty clear he doesn't want to wrestle anyone younger, and he wants to wrestle someone from his own generation. So if we're bound and determined we have to have a Sting match, Hunter won't have anything to do other than he'll disappoint his buddy Dave, and Dave won't get his retirement match. But I think when all is said and done, Sting is the bigger draw right now than Dave, even though you mentioned, I think earlier, Dave's movie out of the ballpark and everyone's excited. But I think, you know, from what fans are thinking, Sting is the bigger draw.
But again, it's only a backup if Undertaker can't compete.
He's not coming back.
We said that for a few years now, that he shouldn't compete, but he needs a retirement match, and I think if he doesn't have it this year, it would obviously be at WrestleMania 32, but I don't think you want that two-year gap.
I just think he's done. I think he's done. I think it will take a lot of convincing, a lot of money, and a lot of stuff that I just don't see happening. I think Undertaker is done.
Well, did you have one more WrestleMania match, or was it the AJ versus Stephanie?
No, no, no. We mentioned AJ and Stephanie. We mentioned, obviously, we had...
Rusev and Cena.
Yeah, but we had Reigns and Brock, which is the obvious one. But one more, and this is a fun one. And I thought, if Daniel Bryan comes back, this would be a match that he wouldn't be in the title picture, but... It would be a match that his fans would enjoy, and if they give it time, I think it would be a great match. Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro.
Ugh. The only thing that makes me skeptical about that is if WWE is going to really push Cesaro. And I mean, he lost the pre-show to Rob Van Dam, the guy who can't win worth a lick. He lost to RVD, especially with RVD leaving the company soon. And I actually thought he wasn't going to be on Raw, but
He beat Swagger to de-push Swagger. So go figure.
You know what? I'll give you this little my own prediction for Daniel Bryan. If he's able to compete at WrestleMania, I think a Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins match works just as well.
It could. I mean, there's lots of options, but I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Daniel Bryan's going to be very tricky to do. If he's healthy and this surgery goes well and the recovery time is what it is, we're looking at probably Royal Rumble, that he comes back. Obviously, we all remember last year's Royal Rumble and what a mess that was.
He gets the major pop that he didn't get in Pittsburgh with Mysterio trolling the fans as number 30.
Yeah, but can you even have him in that match?
I think that's the way to go. You don't want to do a singles match. I think you just throw him in the Rumble, give him a couple minutes, maybe even give him the win if you really want to push the boundaries here.
I don't think you can. I really don't. I think you have to. I think you're running. That's going to be, you talk about tests for Roman Reigns, that's it. If Daniel Bryan is back and they go to the Royal Rumble and Roman Reigns is supposed to be the guy that wins it, and Daniel Bryan's back and in that match, oh my God.
And then we get the triple threat match where Daniel Bryan holds Raw hostage and we get Reigns versus Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan.
And Daniel Bryan wants the Lesnar match.
He does.
He's wanted it for years.
I think we all want it, no?
It'd be interesting. I just don't know. I don't know if for Daniel Bryan's future I want that match for him.
God, would they really give Daniel Bryan the one win over Brock Lesnar if he was to be the one to really take him down?
I don't see that. Like, I think Reigns has to win first.
Yeah.
If Brock's still around after that, yeah, I think you can definitely do a Daniel Bryan versus Brock match, but they put themselves into a corner with making Brock this guy that's the one. Now he has to get beat by the next one. I mean, that's the only logical booking, and the WWE has to decide on who that next one is. It clearly seems, at least right now, Roman Reigns is that guy.
Do you think WWE has the guts to say, you know what, at WrestleMania, whether it's The Rock, whether it's Roman Reigns, whether it's Daniel Bryan, to give Brock Lesnar the win?
Well, if he's... that all depends on if Brock Lesnar's sticking around. You think he is, I think he isn't.
I think it, to really make this Lesnar thing special, which it already is, let's be honest, I think you give Lesnar the win at WrestleMania 31, and you have his first loss be at WrestleMania 32.
I don't know if you can drag this out that long.
I'm sure with a guy like Lesnar, I think you can.
I don't know. And obviously he has to sign a contract, and we don't know about that. Because I listened to the stuff Paul Heyman was saying about Brock. He has an itch to go back to UFC. Like, he won't even watch fights because Heyman says he watches a fight and goes, I could beat that guy. I could beat that guy.
I think two things will keep him from doing that. One, the money from WWE, and two, the competition right now in the heavyweight division is not what it needs to be.
I think
he could beat anyone in that division right now. It wouldn't matter.
Cain Velasquez? No.
No.
I think that matters. I think that's a huge selling match for UFC.
No, his stock has dwindled down too. Well, obviously, it would be a big draw because it's Lesnar, and then Lesnar's first... championship loss came to Velasquez, but I mean, two, four years later, whatever, how long it's been.
And the WWE is always going to be there. Brock's time in the UFC, that's limited. I mean, you can professional wrestle longer than you can Ultimate Fight. I think that's clear.
But would Dana White want him back? Because the stigma of him being a WWE guy is even larger now.
Hey, Dana White understands what sells, and Brock Lesnar sells.
But he wants that WWE UFC connection to be as split as possible. That's why he's so upset with everyone showing up at SummerSlam.
Well, I just assume he is. I haven't heard that he is.
Now I've seen reports. He's not a fan of it, definitely. I don't see why he would be.
Which is kind of hypocritical on Dana's part. Because, I mean, he's the first one to parade around CM Punk when he shows up at a show, or The Undertaker, or whoever. I mean, the WWE kind of threw it back in Dana's face at SummerSlam.
I guess so, but they're not stepping in the ring either, and they're not doing backstage segments.
Well, no, but, I mean, neither was Ronda Rousey, really. I mean, that was the ALS thing, and they hid it under charity. It was smart. Whoever came up with the idea, brilliant, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, that was really smart, and, you know, I think this is Ronda's way of pushing back at the UFC a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that, I can do whatever I want to do. You can't stop me. Because this all goes back to actually a Ring of Honor thing where Filthy Tom Lawler was in the corner of Red Dragon. UFC approved of it. They thought it was great. That's fine. Then they kind of understood, wait a second, Ring of Honor is actually a thing. It's bigger than we thought it was. And Filthy Tom Lawler was supposed to go with Red Dragon a second time. And the UFC kiboshed it.
The mixed martial arts world and the wrestling world, it's oil and water.
I don't think it is, though. The fan bases aren't. Like, fans would pop for either. Like, to see either side of it, they'd be excited to see it. Like, let's face it. If CM Punk took an MMA fight, everyone's going to watch it.
Agreed.
And if Ronda Rousey shows up in a wrestling match, even as a guest referee doing the whole Tyson thing, everyone's going to watch that too. I mean, it's the promotions that don't get along, not the fans as much as it used to be. Now, it used to be the fans. There used to be that clear divide, but I think there's enough middle ground now of people that like both that it's not like it used to be. Because there's definitely your hardcore wrestling fans and your hardcore MMA fans that do not get along and hate the other product with a passion.
All right, James, you've made your point.
What point is that?
No, you're convincing me about the whole dynamic of wrestling fans and MMA fans being a lot more similar than I'm giving them credit for.
Hey, I'm telling you. Like in all honesty, why the WWE has not created a Ronda-like character for their women's division, I have no idea. Because you could do it. Find a female badass character and just have her run through the Divas division. It should have happened a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, it is what it is, and we hope you enjoyed the show this week. We had some fun projecting the future and predicting, and we'll see if any of those matches come off. Remind me, like, when it gets around WrestleMania time, we'll bring that whole thing back and see of the five matches I picked, if any of them actually made it to the finish line.
Yeah, good luck with that, James.
Yeah,
I mean,
a couple of them, when I look at them and I think, obviously Reigns and Brock is a no-brainer. So I think I'll get that one. But the other four, I think, are all up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they're all kind of interesting matches that could happen, but might not. But I think of the five, the next most realistic one is Sting Triple H.
Yes.
Because I think that's definitely the direction we're going. I don't think The Undertaker's coming back, and I think Sting wants a match. Triple H is a big old school NWA fan. He respects Sting. Would he go in the ring and do it? Yeah, he would. And no one gets hurt by that. You know what I mean? Like, Sting gets his match and Triple H takes a loss or he takes a win or whatever they do with it. Bottom line is, no one on the current roster is impacted in a negative way by getting in there with Sting. And I think Triple H, of anybody, could probably get a decent match out of Sting.
Oh, yeah. He can carry Sting for 20, 25 minutes, and I think a lot of people will be accepting of it and have a good time with the match.
Yeah, and I think that's the other problem I have with Undertaker Sting. Who's going to lead that match? Like, who's carrying that thing on to greatness?
The fans will.
No one will. It'll die. And kind of like Brock Undertaker, to be honest with you. Because even though, you know, Brock won that match and he beat the streak and all of that, that was a crappy match. And I know The Undertaker got a concussion, but I don't think it was going to be much better than what it ended up being. I saw that as a horrible match on paper, and it turned out to be.
Well, if my brain wasn't functioning properly, I wouldn't be putting forth my best effort either.
There you go. Well, there's some joke about you and on this show that I'm not going to make.
No, because every week here on Condo on the Moon, my brain functions clearly. I could see through the rain. I could do it all. I'm the man. I don't know what I'm saying now. I'm trying to promote myself.
That was a terrible promo, Chris Walder.
I just cut a Brie Bella promo.
No, Brie Bella at least completed her thought. You didn't even do that.
Dusty, Big Show. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
He's too sweet to be sour. The man with no power. He's
freak
Chris.
Freak out. We didn't even get a freak out from you today, man.
Yeah. Oh, no. I didn't do Macho Man freak out at the end.
Jeez.
Or the beginning.
I had to do it for you.
Yeah, and it was
bad.
Is
there extra money in this?
No.
No? Okay.
That was bad. All right. We're done. We are having one of our epic clunky finishes that I will fix up in editing, and people will go, what is he talking about? That was a fine finish to the program. It's all because of editing, folks. And, you know, that's why we respect the people on Raw. It's live. Sometimes things happen. A shoe turns. A mic doesn't work. We're a tape show, so if things screw up, we've really screwed up.
Well, tune in next week, everybody, and see how me and James fumble up another exit here on Condo on the Moon.
And with that, we are out of here.